We still think that church planting and the globe and the campus is really important.
Yes and amen.
I mean, in fact, we're trying to speed that up right now.
Right.
So we're actively saying, let's do that. But what we've realized is after a few times of doing something, it becomes like, oh, this is something we can do. Now what else, God, are you asking us to do? And as we look back at all the success, we began to develop a vision in the coming years that holds on to that as our DNA of the mm-hmm. church. Like that we're holding on to that vision and mission and we're not moving, but we feel like God is calling us to more. And if we're honest with ourselves in that more, we have to be honest that we have done incredibly well of equipping people to go to a church plant, to go overseas, all that sort of stuff. But have we really equipped our people to engage our community in gospel meaningful ways mm-hmm. that would make a difference in our community?
Welcome to Keystone Conversations, our podcast on the topics and issues important to the Keystone family. Our hope is to give insight, wisdom, and resources as you press on to know and follow Jesus. I'm Randy Woodbury, Executive Pastor here at Keystone. With me, our lead pastor, Brent Minter.
What's up, Randy? How are you?
I am doing well. And as we come into our conversation today, the word of the day is celebration.
Let's go, man.
So I thought it would be fun, and you kind of challenged me with this. We're just going to go back and forth for a second. Over the last 12 weeks, you name one thing, I name one thing. Things that you want to celebrate in the life of Keystone that we're celebrating together as a Keystone family. What comes to mind? Go.
I have so many. Do I get more than one shot?
No, we're going to go back and forth.
Okay. I mean, today we prayed over some SALT students who are going overseas.
Japan for...
Yeah, we did that Sunday morning, but then we brought them and their families together right after our 10:02 prayer as a staff and prayed over them. I mean, that's super exciting. It's fresh.
When you drove by the church, you literally saw dozens of little groups or dozens of people in groups. Yeah.
Love it.
Baptisms. Was it 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
29?
I think so. Incredible. I think for me, probably the highlight of that moment was a girl in my connection group and watching the Lord do in her life, a new believer, and going, when are you going to get baptized? And watching her go through that and just celebrating as a connection group, God's faithfulness to this gal, man, incredible.
So my highlight was the first time that me and my sons, both got to baptize people in the same day.
What's not incredible about that? I mean, and
that's
then
that's pretty fun.
You know, for me, it's a project that's a long tail is church planting because we have church planting camps for 2 years. So Matt has been here; he's not been here for 2 years, but about 18 months, mm-hmm. and just so excited watching him from move in. Like unloading his truck to the confidence, and this is where God's calling us and people going with him. Just a delight.
And even as that is ending, we have a beginning coming. You're already on the prowl in the recruitment of the next one.
Yeah, trying to shore that up. And, you know, that's up to God. I'm doing my job, but God's ultimately responsible to bring those labors to us. And so we're trying to kick some tires and see if we can't get some more church planters here and
so
get them ready.
We're coming to the end of the semester for law schools. It's open house time, it's graduations, but we'd be remiss if we didn't mention SALT and just the number of professions of faith out of SALT this semester. What was the final number?
Randy, I'm almost positive, and I feel really bad saying this, but I'm almost positive they've seen 39 students give their life to Christ.
39?
This year. 27 this spring, I think 26 baptisms. And again, if those aren't the perfect numbers, you got to forgive me.
We're getting the general themes here, not the exact numbers.
I'm going from conversations.
Yep.
Incredible. It's unbelievable to see. And, you know, just generally speaking, the last 4 weeks at Keystone, there's been multiple weeks that you can't find a parking spot. There's just been a lot of attendance. Now, the good news is maybe this is something you can celebrate.
Oh, yeah. We are having new parking coming online very soon. I almost don't know exactly when this will drop. So I will, within, let's say, the next week or two, you should be able to find a brand new opportunity to park on the east side of the campus in the back, what we call the quote back.
Yeah.
But that'd be an awesome opportunity if for all of our volunteers and our families that always get here early. One, God bless you.
Yeah.
Two, you have your own space now, and that opens up that entire west side for all our visitors. Because you think of the Easter, Mother's Day, these are
commissioning,
church plant. We are having a lot of people through our doors, and praise be to God for that. But that also does the necessity for more parking.
Absolutely. It's been an incredible spring. I mean, I feel like the Easter was late this year.
Yeah.
It always floats because it's based on the Jewish calendar, the lunar calendar, not our normal Gregorian calendars.
That's a separate podcast.
Yeah. but it's from Passover, so it makes sense. Right. So, but it's been an incredible spring and moving into the summer. Excited for what ministry will happen this summer.
So Keystone family, just celebrate with us as you see a volunteer, if you see a staff member, if you see your connection group friends, whomever your context is, yeah, just celebrate what God's doing amongst our people, in our community, and across the world. And as that's a fun celebration to look back.
Yeah.
But our primary focus today is going to be looking forward.
Okay.
And there are things that we have on the horizon because one of our church values is a church on the move.
Yeah.
And it would be fun. I think you and I would both say privately, it would be fun if we could all catch our breath for a moment. That's not how we roll.
Yeah. That would be cool. But I think that's not how we do things. We're not haphazard.
Nope.
I always try to, like, we don't take ourselves very seriously, but we take the gospel very seriously.
That's right.
And there's a stewardship that God's given us of the gospel in this moment, in this time, and we're kind of full-send people.
So, Brent, as we think through that, Keystone Church has had a strong focus, as you all know, church planting, missions over the years. And can you just remind our people, how did that journey begin, the impact it's had, and as we're thinking through and discerning next steps of how to engage our local community, what's some of the things that are bubbling to the top?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about what we do with church planting, I think most people, if they come to Keystone, they would say, hey, tell us three or four things about your church. And I'm assuming you've been here enough. You've been here
right
enough to see some things. I think you would probably say, man, it seems like they really care about college students. And I think following that, also all next generation, middle school, high school, kids are everywhere and we love it, right?
That's right.
I think they would say that, and I think they would also say they plant churches. And if you're not around the Christian community, plant churches, like, do you have a garden? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not really sure what's going on
there.
That's
right.
But we want to help start churches. And by the grace of God, Randy, since our beginning, that has been in our DNA of who we are. It was, it wasn't that long ago that we were a campus, which is kind of a plant in some senses.
Right.
But we sent 65 folks to help start Cottage Grove. That was when we were part of Cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't we were doing that as a part of Cornerstone's vision. But then in 2017, when we became autonomous, we just made the decision really early on. We want to start with movement at the beginning and not hopefully get ready for it and one day be ready for it.
Right.
And so we did that, planted Austin in 2019, Daniel in 2022. And then now Mabry it was Daniel in 2023.
I think 22's.
Yeah, and then 2025 is Mabry.
Yep.
And so it's just been such a huge piece of who we are. It's been something that we all love. It's been something that has rallied us. And, you know, you add on top that a couple of years ago, we really, post-COVID, were able to re-drill and really re-engage in our global efforts and see a lot of things. So a lot of success.
Mm-hmm.
Success is probably the wrong word. Movement,
right.
Intention, vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what is interesting is that not everyone at Keystone realizes this. That doesn't just necessarily happen. Man, if God speaks in the moment, we're responding. And we could do a podcast of, like, when did we feel like God said, let's go after this? And we could talk about those at a micro level. But one of the responsibilities of the elders is to, we talk about four words a lot, to lead, feed, care, and protect the flock of God.
That's right.
And so lead is, where is God taking us? That's a question we ask a lot. And we actually set out a vision in 2019, the beginning, January 2019, a five-year vision that would end at December 2024. We called it 2025. And that was the way we talked about that. We'd be an overflowing fountainhead of gospel expansion to the campus, community, and world. And that our heart was, listen, what we want to do is reach the campuses, of course, DMAC, but also the next campus and the communities that those campuses are in and also the world. And so by God's grace, I could tell you how we're not perfect in that. You could probably, the listeners could tell us how we're not perfect in that.
Absolutely.
But we really set out, and behind the scenes, strategic long-term budgeting initiatives really worked to make sure that those are focuses that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And as we came in and that vision season closed, we sat down as elders like, what is important now? And we, as we began to really press into that, we still think that church planting and the globe and the campus is really important.
Yes and amen.
I mean, in fact, we're trying to speed that up right now.
Right.
So we're actively saying, let's do that. But what we've realized is after a few times of doing something, it becomes like, oh, this is something we can do. Now what else, God, are you asking us to do? And as we look back at all the success, we began to develop a vision in the coming years that holds on to that as our DNA of the mm-hmm. church. Like that, we're holding on to that vision and mission and we're not moving, but we feel like God is calling us to more. And if we're honest with ourselves in that more, we have to be honest that we have done incredibly well of equipping people to go to a church plant, to go overseas, all that sort of stuff. But have we really equipped our people to engage our community in gospel meaningful ways
mm-hmm.
that would make a difference in our community? Randy, let me tell you what I think that's what we do well. If you come into this church, you're going to hear about the gospel.
Right.
So by reaching our community, we have an incredible Sunday morning experience that's welcome to anyone that can mm-hmm. come in. We celebrate that. But everyone on our leadership team would say, yes, we're going to do that well, but we also want to be unbelievably good of going into the community and bringing the gospel to the community and not just hoping the community comes into Keystone.
Right. And this is where you hear a term a lot, everyday missionary.
Yes.
And I truly don't want that to be a throwaway term because it's a powerful term.
Yeah.
Because there is a tendency, and we've been blessed with many commissioning parts of our services the last few weeks, that it's always an out there thing that happens, you know, overseas, on the campus. But in actuality, the primary way we will yes. influence the kingdom is right here.
You nailed it.
And so as you look at our community, and we've talked about, you know, you mentioned as elders looked at this unsettling reality
yeah.
Of what we see in the community. And I think the way we summarize it is a community that's desperately searching for what can be only found in Jesus.
Yeah. Let's peel that back because I don't know if someone could love a community more than I love Ankeny. I mean, there's history reasons for that. I walk through the Ankeny Museum, which you should all do. It's go to the farmer's market and then go to the Ankeny Historical Society. It's awesome. I'm not from here, but God has meshed my heart with this community
mm-hmm.
in ways that is absolutely. I love Ankeny. I would try to get anyone in the world to live in Ankeny. But as much as I want to celebrate our community, I think that any missiologist would walk into our community and say, oh man, they have beautiful houses, but they do not all have beautiful gospel hope, and their lives are lived in beautiful houses. There are also a lot of homes and spiritual conditions and families who are in disrepair.
Yeah.
And so we look beautiful and it's an incredible place to live. Like our sports complex has better grass than most. Mm-hmm. there's so many great things to celebrate, but there is a brokenness in our community. I think of like people who have it all, but they don't have peace.
Mm-hmm.
People who have incredible 401ks, but do not have eternal hope.
Mm.
Moms and dads that are providing everything they wish they had, but are privately wondering if they're doing the right thing.
Mm.
I mean,
does that relate to anyone? I mean,
yeah,
those things are so prevalent.
It is. And I think that I would love to just point outside of Ankeny
mm-hmm.
and say that's true. But categorically, that's true of people who come to Keystone as well. And why is that wrong? Is because the gospel hope we have. And so when we look at our community, I said this a little bit earlier, we're to steward the gospel in a unique place. We're not in downtown Chicago. If God had put Keystone in downtown Chicago, he would have to give us new passions and new missional realities to face where we're at.
Right.
God's put us in the middle of Ankeny.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look, I believe that Jesus would come to Ankeny, and he would say the same thing as he says in Matthew 9, which is he would look out on the crowds like sheep without a shepherd. And there's a lot of beautiful things in this city, but there are a lot of sheep without a shepherd, a
right.
spiritual shepherd that can give them hope in the gospel.
It's interesting, as we were working through this progress, someone, is either you or Pastor Matt, Pastor Chad, had brought up that I didn't even know what the motto of Ankeny was. And it's called Bringing It All Together.
Yes.
And what a great summary of like you had said, the exterior part, and then you even connected it and developed this concept of the cracked foundation.
Yeah.
That you can see I like to use the word McMansion, but whatever. You know, the housing looks great, but the foundation's cracked.
Yeah.
And then you start to dig in more, and this is what actually you wrote. You probably remember, instead of them flourishing that they envisioned, they're silently struggling in the current of overcommitment, exhausted by the never-ending pressure to keep up with the Joneses, and pressed by a sense of responsibility to give their children everything they never had.
Yeah.
As you take a step back and then look at the actual situations, that couldn't be more prescient.
I mean, when I see my friends outside of Keystone, that some are believers or not, overcommitment is the currency of Keystone.
Mm.
Keeping up with the Joneses, I mean, and I don't even know that it's a rat race competition.
If we did a merch on a t-shirt, overcommitment is the currency, I might buy a few. I love that. That's a great summary.
It is. And you know, why do I say call Ankeny rich? Here's what I know. Every one of our listeners don't feel rich, okay? But if you look at the national average of median income and then you look at Ankeny, it's starkly different.
Correct.
Like, it's actually $20,000 more a year than Des Moines proper.
Yes.
So that's the reason I say it. I understand that not everyone who comes to our church feels rich. Yeah. I feel you on that. But there is the place where we're to steward the gospel is a level of affluence that is easy to trust in ourselves. It's easy to keep up with the Joneses and to not find the joy of the gospel, but try to find it in every other possible way we can find it.
It was so powerful to change and to put words to this perspective again, because now we're starting to hone in on some opportunities.
Yeah.
We're starting to look at that. And so if you think ahead in terms of our next long-term vision, you mentioned we just finished one. As we look ahead to our next long-term vision, how do you see, and we use this word with love, everyday people. Because we're all everyday people.
Yes.
We're all everyday people. How do everyday people play a part in this new vision and movement for Keystone at this time?
Yeah, I think that that's the call of our church over the next few years is we're trying to do, I'll talk about my insecurity in this.
Mm.
At this point, we could double and triple down on Sunday morning and make it bigger and better and better.
Sure.
But I, with 100% confidence, know that there are people in this community that no matter how good we get, they would never darken the door of this church.
Mm-hmm.
And those people that would never darken the door of the church, no matter how good or awesome we got, are probably would interact with someone from our church, whether it's on the ball field,
that's right,
in the cube farm of the organization, whether it's in the neighborhood or in the schools where our kids go. And so the vision that is emerging in this place is, while we're going to always celebrate what happens here on Sunday morning, we're trying to put more resource, more time, more equipping to help people know where they're called and equipped and sent from this church as everyday missionaries to where they live, work, and play and learn. And so that's really what we're trying to do, is not double down on the Sunday morning event. We're good at that.
Right.
We're not going to double, we're going to continue to do that with excellence. But what we're trying to double down in is trying to help people see where people around them that's not at this on this campus are at, and equipping them with the resources to invite them to respond to the gospel of Jesus. And so, yes, that means communicating the gospel with evangelism, but it also looks like being a sacrificial friend. It also looks like being agile. Like, the lost world doesn't necessarily care what the Bible says. So how can we be ambassadors for Christ in an ever-changing world that might not value what the Bible says?
Mm-hmm.
We also want to, like, as a people in this church, we want to rid ourselves of the almost the gravitational pull to be more like our community, but more like Jesus. You know, we would say, again, I feel like we're picking on Ankeny a little bit, but I think we can only say these things about Ankeny because we feel it in ourselves.
Absolutely.
But there's a self-sufficiency that we're trying to, we want to root that out in our church of, look at me, look what I did, look what I earned, look what I, and move that to more dependent on Jesus. The term we would use there is a dependent follower.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be all self-absorbed. We want to be sacrificial friends.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to just take the gifts and things that God has given us, our strengths, our weaknesses, our gifts of the Spirit, and invest it in ourselves. We want to invest it in other people. So these are some things, Randy, that as we move into the future, we're going to try to equip
right.
and celebrate those things as much or more than we celebrate the things on Sunday morning.
And just to give a summary of that, because Brent hit some excellent stuff there. So think of some just kind of summary words that he put out there. A dependent follower, a sacrificial friend, an agile ambassador, an empowered investor. Those are the traits, all rooted in biblical background.
Yeah.
That we're saying if we want to impact the community, these are the kind of things we need to be doing, not just having an excellent Sunday service.
That's it.
I think it would surprise some people. I think you'll be okay with me saying that. I want our people to know we have never had a goal of how many people to put in seats on a Sunday.
Never in a million years.
And in fact, we've talked more about where we think a natural, we're never going to grow over X because we're going to be sending so many people out to churches, to context, to missions fields. That's more of the conversation of where it's ever at.
Yeah.
And you've kind of, we've kind of settled on a way to describe this and kind of give a little bit of creativity and vision to that. How'd you come to that, you know, in terms of impacting communities? What's long-lasting effect versus short-term effect? How'd you land on a way to think about that?
You know, Randy, we spent a lot of time as elders over the last, the second half of 2024, really wrestling with these things. And we thought of one of the previous ones to help people understand is like, we had this vision in our mind of being an overflowing fountainhead of gospel expansion.
Mm-hmm.
So we are always thinking, how do we do that? How do we, like what God's done in us, overflow out of this place into other places? And then as we begin to hone in on what we want to do to help equip our own people to be dependent followers, agile ambassadors, sacrificial friends, empowered investors, as we begin to think, what if we did everything we could to equip our people to embody that where they live, work, learn, and play? We immediately started thinking that would shift our community.
Absolutely.
And we just want to admit there's a drift towards ungodliness.
Mm-hmm.
Like a secular culture never goes, you know what? We want to embody the righteousness of God. A secular culture, and I think we can all see that over the last 10 years, our culture has drifted further and further and further and further away from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, when we think about this community and where God has put our church, we began to have the idea of, we believe that God's calling us to shift the drift.
Mm.
And that's the phrase, is shift the drift. And the vision there is this community, unless Spirit-filled, Bible-believing Christians go and are winsome to their friends and neighbors and win them to Christ, the drift of this community, as beautiful it is going to be into more ungodliness.
Right.
However, if those of us who know the name of Jesus begin to emulate a dependent follower, agile ambassador, empowered investor, sacrificial friend, we really believe we could change the community. And this is where it gets fun. There's a Harvard professor, and I'm blanking on her name. And she did dissertation work. And in her dissertation work, she went in to her work with a simple thesis. Her thesis was she believed that the greatest way for a lasting change, and for her in her world, it was political change.
Mm-hmm.
And political, not as in like Republican Democrats, but as in like overthrow of government.
Small p, right.
Yeah, yeah. Like an over, like societal changes in the way that politics ran. Again,
right.
I hate that I said politics because it's more like,
yeah.
When did a nation
change? Let's say civic.
Yeah, civic change. Yep. That's it. That's a much better word. Thank you. immediately regret it because it put it in the wrong context. The way to lasting civic change when there was a real problem in a country, her thesis was this, that it is always with violence.
Mm-hmm.
Like the only way to change a society, get rid of a dictator, to get rid of, you know, power structures and all that sort of stuff, the only way you could lastingly do it was for violence. And if you finally had the revolution
mm-hmm.
and you finally beheaded the dictator, you would win, right?
Right.
So she then began to say, where have you seen all these civic changes since the beginning of the 20th century? So from 1901, mm-hmm. she found every major change that existed and she went and studied it, trying to prove that violence
was the only way.
And war was the only way
right.
to change a society. As she studied it, here's what she found. She found that violence was not the way to change a society.
Mm-hmm.
It was non-violent revolt.
Mm-hmm.
It's when people were not violent, but they came together and they organized and said, not any longer. Mm-hmm. Here's the crazy part. Here's where it gets good. What she found is that at all levels, it never took more than 3% for a people in a
3% of a community.
3% of a community to say no longer mm-hmm. for it to change. It didn't, like, we would all assume it takes 50%. It takes all, like, it takes a huge number of people. And what she determined and proved is that it takes 3% or less of the people in a community to say, that's not the way we're going. We're going this way. And as we began to dream of what God might want to do in this community, what if those people who know Jesus and call Keystone Home said, you know what? We're going to shift the drift in my neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
in my kid's school, in my gym, on my kid's sports field, in my kid's neighborhood. What if God began to shift the drift in those places? And Keystone is at the point in this season that it is not a far-reaching goal for us to see 3% of this community radically changed by the message of Christ and forever change the trajectory of this city for this gospel.
This is so amazing because a couple things jump out to me. One, let me be clarifying what we're not saying here. We're not talking anywhere about who's here on a Sunday morning.
That's right.
That is a part of the process. We're saying that, let's say Ankeny grows to 100,000 people.
Yeah.
Okay, let's use it, 3,000 people. That 3,000 people in our community are being directly influenced by the people of Keystone.
That's right.
To know and follow Jesus.
That's right.
That's a lot different. You know, whether they show up here or not, I can think of many people in our context. It could be moms with the neighborhood parents. It could be dads with the work colleagues. It could be our youth in their school. The funny thing is you listed a bunch of places that is not adding to one thing in our people's lives.
That's right.
They're already at work. They're already in their neighborhood. They're already at school.
You nailed it. And I think that what's part of this vision is not just a, you know, pie in the sky, hopefully this happens. We're naming names. We're saying, what's the top 50 employers in this city? We want an empowered person from Keystone to see, when I go to this workplace, it is my mission field and I'm equipped and I'm there. That doesn't mean you're going to break the policies of your company.
No.
It just means that you're going to be salt and light
there
and you're going to see your workplace as a mission field. When you go, like, our hope is to have a person who feels called as a parent or a student to be a missionary where their kids go to school and they're engaged in it.
And have every school covered.
So it's not that we don't care about Sunday morning. We're trying to take new ground.
Right.
I know the gospel will be preached if you come into Keystone.
That's right.
I'm worried about the sports fields and the schools and the workplaces and the neighborhoods. Like,
mm-hmm.
that is where I want the gospel of Jesus to go, not just to Japan, not just to Bowling Green, not just to, yes, to those places. We're good at that, or by God's grace, we're good at that.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to do everything we can to empower God's people and to call them to be everyday missionaries where they live, learn, work, and play.
And hopefully you can tell we're all getting very passionate about this.
Yeah.
Because we're starting to see then that next step forward of what it looks like. I want to clarify that for a second, because what Brett mentioned was revolt. And, you know, a lot of words are used for a lot of reasons these days. I want to be very specific because we actually wrote this out very clearly. And I think this is very helpful. When we say revolt, this is what we mean. We mean revolting from self-sufficiency that leads to exhaustion.
Yeah.
revolting from self-centeredness that leads to isolation.
Yeah.
Revolting from self-focus that leads to selfish living and limited impact. And revolting from gospel silence because of fear.
Those are the things. Yeah. Do you know what the revolt is? Go read the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm.
That's the revolt.
Yep.
We're not going to be anxious.
Yep.
We're going to be confident in God.
Yep.
We are not. Like, all the things that the kingdom, like the Sermon on the Mount would call us to do as people who know King Jesus, that's what we're talking about. That is a revolt. No one in this city is turning the other cheek,
mm-hmm.
right? But we're going to turn the other cheek. We're going to trust God. We're going to forgive. We're going to love one another.
Yes.
Like, those are the kind of revolts that King Jesus is all about.
And that's how you permanently change the context you've been called to.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's good. I, with everything I am, believe this is the right next steps for our church.
Mm.
You said it. We do not sit around dreaming how we can become bigger as a church.
No.
But for some reason, God has made us a bigger church, and we will continue to steward that. But as we move forward, a lot of our resources, our time, and our energy are not going to make Sunday morning better. They're going to be how to empower God's people to go where people don't hear the gospel and proclaim it in the most winsome, truth-filled, like powerful way. That's our hope.
I think a word you'll start hearing often, on top of shift the drift, which is going to be ubiquitous, deployed.
Yes.
Deployed.
Yes.
Deployed means going out.
That's it.
Does not mean come in. Deployed.
Yeah.
And that's deployed.
And I think the thing is, Randy, now this is the beauty of the Spirit of God and the beauty of our community. There's going to be moms that are deployed to their kids.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be dads deployed to their works. There's going to be teenagers deployed to their show choir and band departments.
Yep.
There's going to be like DMAC students deployed to the campus. This is the Great Commission. It doesn't, in fact, oh, yeah, get me preaching. So the Great Commission says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations.
That's right.
Okay. Nerd moment. It does that go therefore, the go there is a present active participle,
yep.
which the in English, a bet. It's not that go is a great translation, but it actually is ongoing motion,
yep.
which means it's like a better, more technical, and sometimes translators would call this wooden translation, but it helps us understand it. It should say, therefore, while you are going.
Yep. As you're going.
As you're going, make disciples. The command is to make disciples. And listen, there is an army of people that call Keystone home that are going in a bunch of different places, and we want to deploy them. And more than just deploy them, we're going to do everything we can with resources and structures and strategies to make sure that while they're going, they feel equipped
mm-hmm.
to do that mission.
So good. And hopefully you see, again, this is the first of what will be multiple conversations.
Yeah.
And Brett, just help remind our people, what should they be looking for in terms of more information about this, how it's going to manifest itself, you know, in the weeks and months ahead? What are some of the key milestones as we continue to talk about this?
Yeah, I think that as we begin to look through the fall, a vision this big takes resources.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have a real conversation about it as a church, about the resources needed to accomplish a vision like this. Because it's going to require more from us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that would be the one thing I would say. I'd also say, we've been dripping this slowly.
Mm-hmm.
If you go look back, we talked about this with Connection Group. We last No One Follow in last August.
Yep.
We talked about those four features of a disciple that we really want to equip and bring into focus at Keystone. The sacrificial friend, dependent follower, empowered investor, and also agile ambassador. We're going to continue to talk about those. And I think also we'll be there'll be some environments that we're inviting people in. Now, here's the thing. I'm pretty confident in this. If we was like, hey, we're going to talk about being a Keystone disciple. Let's have a huge equipment night one night. We'd get 100 to 200 people in the room. What's interesting is to the best we can, we're going to be doing some of this equipping one-on-one, three-on-one, five-on-one, 20-on-one. Mm-hmm. Because we're not trying to get people to come to classes. We're trying to impart vision and impart equipping to folks so that they can go out. And so Jesus did that one-on-one, and the best discipleship movements that are happening around the world are happening in small groups and being sent out. They're not happening because 300 people came for a teaching one night.
Right.
We'll continue to do that. that's what we do right now. However, we're going to continue to do. So some of those opportunities, if someone taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, do you want to come and study this with me? We're developing those things right now because this is a 8-year vision. I wish that we were going to have it all accomplished in the next 3 years or the next year, but we're going to build it and then begin to execute it in the long run.
And so I think that's just a great reminder that there'll be context. It could be at the member event, that there'll be some financial context. It could be later in the fall where more church-wide context. But and the thing I want to stress on this, and you mentioned, but just to reiterate, is this is a long-term vision.
Yes.
And the resources needed to do that will include a variety of things.
Yeah.
Sure, there's going to be some, you know, physical needs that need to be addressed, you know, within our property context. Could be the building, could be other things. There's going to be staffing needs. There's going to be church planting needs. There could be ministry and training needs. We'll detail all that out at the appropriate context. But this is the next, we talk about hills to take.
Yeah.
This is a mountain to take. And I couldn't be more excited about it.
I just can't. Can you imagine 2033 is when this vision is ending, when we try to begin to put a strategic plan of how long do we think this will take us to execute?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? I don't know how big Inky is going to be there. Probably close to 100,000.
Yeah.
The way it's growing. And by the grace of God, we've got everyday missionaries. And that might be some people who listen to this podcast right now that go, I don't want to be an everyday missionary. I just want to come and hear good Bible teaching.
Mm.
And I understand that. I've been there before in my life.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm not assuming that we're good Bible teachers. I felt like I just called myself a good Bible teacher.
We're good.
Okay. But can you imagine if in those days, like it's impossible to go in this community anywhere without knowing someone who's come to faith in Christ because of Keystone, 3%. And all of a sudden you begin to see a community that's being shaped by the values of King Jesus and his salvation. I think that's a vision worth going after.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go. I always like when we end with that. So thanks so much for being part of our conversation today. If you'd like to know more about Keystone in general, hear sermons, or listen to more conversations, please visit KeystoneLife.com. Until next time, let's keep the conversations going.